Bro, I've slept for 9 hours. I think I might have woken up dead. I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know what's happening. Ready?
Yep.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever Podcast. My name is Ben Gross.
My name is...
Hold on, Luke. Welcome to the Every Move Ever Podcast. My name is Ben Gross.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast / mental health check-in for two broken-brained best friends talking around their problems, but not about their problems.
Never!
While laughing at movies. And given that this is a thinly veiled mental health check-in, Ben, before we get to what we're doing, I want to know how you're doing, man.
Sorry, mate.
I'm a sleepy boy.
I'm a fucking sleepy boy. I slept.
He's had 9 hours sleep and he's never slept that much in his life.
Bro, 9 hours. I don't know if I'm awake or if I'm dead. And this is just the last 7 minutes of electrical activity going through my brain right now. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm in a fever dream. I'm here. I'm alive. Possibly.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm seeing your face. That makes my day better.
Yeah. Likewise.
I tell you what, I did do Hundreds of Beavers. Right? That was the screening.
You did
this
Hundreds
week.
Of Beavers.
I did Hundreds of Beavers. Hundreds of Beavers. Great film.
Wow. I mean,
great film. You'd love it. Okay. Slapstick, black and white. I think there's 8 words in the whole film.
Right. So when I bring Slapstick Black and White, you're like, oh, I hate it. It's beneath me.
It's all wanky.
And then you'll go to a screening
it's all
and
wanky.
Then you're like,
you know what I mean? It's all like, oh, it's got a big moral meaning. This is literally people in beaver suits getting twatted by logs and fucking traps. It's amazing.
Right. Takeshi's Castle for film grads. Great.
Yeah,
cool.
Essentially, yeah. It's fart sniffing Takeshi's Castle. Yeah, that's what it is. How are you, buddy?
Well, we had plans this weekend. We were going to go camping. We were going to film it. It was going to be a vlog. Remember I got that car last week? I was over the moon. I was like, I've got a car. Yeah, I'm independent.
Yeah.
So that blew up.
Yeah.
And cost me hundreds of pounds. So I am now the poorest boy that ever poured.
I think that's karma for not coming to see me or not going camping. You know what I mean? You've had a car for a week now. Still haven't seen you.
I offered to come up to see you and you're like, oh, I've got shit on.
When?
I said Monday, let's hang out at the boardroom. You're like, yeah, I got loads to do, mate.
Oh yeah, you said next week. After all this drama, right? After the karma drama. Yeah, get it. Karma. Car.
Fair. We'll see about karma. What are we doing this week, Ben?
This week, buddy, we're starting Ty West's X Trilogy.
Whoop, whoop.
With the release of Maxine, we have moved the entire fucking schedule around to make sure that we can fit in Ty West's nigh on perfect examples of how modern horror can be. And I tell you what, right, I've been wanting to do this for a little while. I saw X a long time ago and I've been like, fuck, this is a great film. I saw Pearl a long time ago and I was like, fuck, that might be Rob's favorite film of all time that I've just witnessed there. And you refused to watch it because you were like, fuck you, I'm not watching a horror. I've got Magnolia to wank off to. And then you've gone off and done that for this.
Not what I said.
That's a word for word verbatim. That's what you said.
Okay, yeah, nice. Yeah.
And today we're kicking it off with the low budget, the exploitation flick of the late 70s, X. X. Yes, buddy.
We've got a lot to cover this week. We're going to get into... why are we covering X now? Where did Ty West get his inspiration?
What makes X stand out in possibly the best year of horror in the 2020s so far?
How Ty West owned horror in 2022 with not just one, but two masterclasses in filmmaking.
And the genius writing under the surface sleaze of X.
Right, so these films... I hadn't seen them before. I always wanted to get to them, but it was one of those things I was like, I watch a lot of films with my family, and for the first in a trilogy to be a gory slasher movie set on a porn shoot.
Perfect family time watching.
It's a bit of a difficult sell with like my mum and my teenage sister. I'm like, hey, what? Let's watch this together as a family. That's not weird at all.
I'd watch it with your mum.
Do you know why I've not come to see you recently, Ben? It's the traffic outside your mum's house. Makes the journey a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. Getting to work is nigh on impossible on Thursdays. my mum's a saint! All right.
I'd not got to them.
Yeah.
I was confused because they both came out the same year. So I was like, were these released at the same time? They both came out in 2022. I now know, but for the benefit of the audience, let them know.
Okay, so it came out in 2022. It's a small budget indie horror written, directed, and edited by Ty West, right? No one expected it to change the face of modern horror whilst going toe-to-toe with some of the greatest fucking movies that came out in that year.
Okay, I mean, I don't know if it changed the face of modern horror, but it is very good. It
1,000%. Rob, the fact that you've not seen the face of horror in about a decade because Chris Nolan's been pretty active in those years.
That's fair. That is fair. I've had shit on. Yeah.
So this was filmed during COVID, obviously released just post-COVID. Pearl also released post-COVID. So it was a case of going, well, we could release this mid-COVID when no one's going to the fucking cinemas and, you know, streaming's a thing, but we'll get
football
reactions. Yeah, exactly. Look how well that did. Fuck all. But yeah, so it was released after COVID. It had a budget of $1 million. It grossed...
That's nothing.
Fuck all. It's literally fuck all.
Fuck all.
Fuck all. Consider, when you think about that this was filmed in New Zealand, right?
Yeah.
Everyone flying to New Zealand, all the prosthetics, all the deaths are done practically, all the gore is practical, very little CGI. $1 million for all of that stuff. Kid Cudi is in this fucking film, by the way. And if that prosthetic dick didn't cost half the budget, I don't know what did, because that shit is massive.
No, I think that's just Kid Cudi.
Fucking well done, sir. Fucking well done, you know what I mean? Hashtag blessed, right?
How much did this make?
15 million at the box office.
Oh, cool.
Post-COVID, cool. And got all the fucking critical acclaim it needed. Huge success.
I think that's the sort of thing people think they're doing when they give money to Craig S. Zahla. They're like, here's $1 million. And he comes back and he's like, I've got 15 quid and some popcorn. And you're like, Craig, where's the film?
Didn't do well, but also me and Vince Vaughn are having a barbecue next weekend.
Whereas Ty West is like, yeah, no, here's 15 times what you gave me and some critical acclaim. I can get behind that.
I've got all the fucking theories as to why Ty West and Craig Zahla differ.
Okay, because I've got a lot of theories as to why they're the same. This would be interesting.
Okay.
We'll get into that.
I'm up for that.
Maxine is out now, and I know you've been desperate to talk about this whole trilogy for a while.
Desperate.
We've not done horror in a fair while.
Fucking ages.
Right?
I mean, admittedly, we're doing Alien right now.
Abigail.
And Alien. Abigail. Aliens.
Alien.
Yeah, we've done loads of horror recently. Yeah. Fuck you, Rob. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we've done loads.
Welcome to the horror podcast. But fuck it. You know what I mean? We're here, so let's eat.
All right.
This film, when it came out, I was like, oh, that sounds kind of fun, kind of goofy, you know, whatever. It's going to be all right. And I finally got around to watching it. And it's a fucking damn near perfect film for what it's saying and what it's doing expertly on multiple levels.
Yeah, okay.
Like multiple levels. You've never seen this before. What did you think first watch through, initial reaction?
I think that makes it sound very big. And I think that makes it sound very clever. And it is very clever. But I think what's clever about it is its smallness.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Is its gentleness? Is its subtleness? It's got some really silly bits in it that made me, like, belly laugh.
Yeah.
It's got some really, like, not... When I say interesting subtext, not necessarily because of what it's saying, but why it's saying it. I'm going to get into that as well. But for the benefit of those who haven't seen any of these movies...
Yeah.
We're going to break it down. We've not only got a breakdown jingle, which everyone should be familiar with.
Yeah.
But we've also got now some little breakdown soundscapey music.
All right, send me this whilst we're reading this. Come on.
So I've written this week's. Ben, you're going to start.
Okay.
Let me get you the sound file.
I don't know what this is going to be. I'm either hoping it's some sort of like banjo-y sort of dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun music. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or whether it's like some... deeply.
Start the music.
Okay. Right, I'm hitting play now. The fuck is this?
Just read the text, buddy.
There's no fucking breakdown. Where's the breakdown?
It's in the Discord.
Oh, right. Okay. It's the 70s. In the heart of Texas, we're with a porn crew, and their hope's infectious. Gonna make a film with some steamy scenes. Stars a sweet young thing you can call Maxine. Wayne's got the vision, but she's still the star. RJ's direction, they're gonna go far. We've got Bobby Lynn, Jackson, and Lorraine. But little did they know... The porn's a pain!
With the crew assembled, they arrive at a farmhouse owned by an elderly couple, Howard and Pearl. Howard explicitly states that his wife Pearl is not to be bothered and that the pornographic guests must keep to the guest house and barn only. Shooting commences. And not needed for the day's shoot, Maxine explores the grounds, unknowingly swimming with an alligator and being stalked by elderly landlady Pearl. Although initially apprehensive about what they were there to do, Lorraine, girlfriend of director RJ, who's reluctantly roped into doing sound, asks if she can do a scene. Next bit for you there, mate.
See the elderly folk, creepy and deranged. Pearl and Howard, yeah, they fucking strange. And when they see the porn, they fucking snap. And the blood starts spilling in a deadly trap.
We see Pearl attempt to recapture her lost youth, but her husband keeps mentioning that this time of their lives is done and that his heart couldn't take even one more attempt at lovemaking. She makes up for this by instead going on a murderous rampage. Is it to recapture some element of being alive, or is it simply jealous rage at their youth and beauty? Last bit for you there, mate.
Darkness falls, screams pierce the night, from sexy times to a bloody fright. Survival's the game and the stakes are high in this rural horror. Who says goodbye? Ty West's creation, a slasher delight. X marks the spot as fear takes flight. Homage to classics with the freshest twist. And a horror film that shouldn't miss. It's like that!
There we go.
Is this tricking me into rapping? Because this is sick. Also, I missed everything that you were saying. I missed all of what you were saying. Like, that's a wicked, like, little song you've made. Like, that's great. You could have said anything in that. I was paying so little attention. That was great. That was great. I'm sure that was a very comprehensive breakdown. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. Yeah.
I mean, by the sheer fact that you rapped it, yeah.
Mate, I don't know what came over me. It was, I feel like... That was my truest self. My chain came out and everything. You see this?
Yeah,
fucking
nice.
I had to pop the chain when it, yeah, man. Happened.
Yes, mate.
Happened. Fuck. Why for a 70s sleaze flick? Oh, my days. Why for a 70s sleaze flick do you pull out the fucking, like, the 1993 hip hop beat?
Kid Cudi, mate.
Oh, Kid Cudi.
I saw Kid Cudi. I was like, one of the prime movers and shakers of hip-hop today. Mm-hmm. We can't cover a film with him in without at least one of us doing a white boy rap.
That sounds good.
Right? And I thought, it sure shit ain't going to be me.
Yeah.
So, and you've been asking for more production in the breakdown, so I thought...
Produce me.
I'll grab myself a royalty-free, you know...
Go for it, man.
Royalty-free hip-hop beat and just...
Go crazy.
Write some lyrics.
I loved it.
Those lyrics took far longer than I expected, by the way.
You started writing this breakdown like middle of the week and were like, yeah, I'm starting the breakdown, and messaged me yesterday saying, right, I finished it and I'm really proud of it. I was like, it's taken you 4 fucking days to write the breakdown. Fair. All right, this is going to be mammoth. I need to prep up on words because you're going to be a cunt about it. It's going to be essentially just reading the fucking posh dictionary. No, sir.
No.
Turns out my natural rap talent just needed a little bit of polish. You know what I mean? Bit of a spit shine, some would say. Call me MC Benji. Boom! The flow continues. So, buddy, why X now? Why X now? In the 2020s.
What, on the podcast or
no,
coming out?
Coming out in the 2020s, man. Why bring it out now? I've got a quote from Ty West. Ty West says, and I agree wholeheartedly with this, horror movies had gotten a little soft. I never planned on making a slasher, but being as the landscape was so soft lately, I thought maybe now I could make a challenging horror movie that also shows people how cool it is to make a movie. It's a passion project that shows homage to many horror genres and subgenres, but it also shows the passion of the craft, what it takes to make a movie, even a lowbrow adult movie on a farm in the middle of Texas. Fucking wholeheartedly agree. Now, I said a moment ago, this is a damn near perfect film. And we've spoken about this in the past with films that I think are nigh on perfect. Ghostbusters being one of them. And it's when a film emulates what the filmmakers are doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So picture yourself. It's, you know, fucking COVID's running rampant. You land in New Zealand to make a little passion project film with $1 million. You have to quarantine for 2 weeks. You feel like you're the only people on the planet that are making this movie right now.
Yeah.
Middle of fucking bumfuck nowhere. And you're filming a movie about a small group of people in the middle of bumfuck nowhere who feel like they're the only people on the planet making a movie.
Yep.
Dude, it's incredible the way that this transcends levels. And
It really is.
It's so passively done as well. It's not like in your face being sort of like, hey, meta. Isn't it meta? It's just a nice, relaxed, subtle tip of the hat to go in. It's pretty fucking cool to make a movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
From someone who's making a film going, it's pretty fucking cool to make a movie, isn't it?
What I like about what I like about the premise and the making of the film and the title of the film, right? YX now. Mm-hmm. So in the movie, they're talking about this new X rating that's going to be sort of premiered by the MPAA, which is the American Standards Board, right?
Yeah.
Originally, it was developed as a non-trademarked rating. So anyone could make a film and just put an X rating on it, right? Yeah,
didn't need to be trademarked. You could literally...
Didn't need to be trademarked. Anything ever. And as long as you were over 16, you could go watch this X movie, but you knew it was unclassified, right?
Yeah.
It's basically, we've not checked this... So buyer beware.
Yeah.
And it's another classic example of somebody makes a thing completely forgetting about the impacts that that will have when porn comes along. Like no one made Twitter being like, oh, porn.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one made Tumblr by being like, oh, porn.
Tumblr's not porn.
Tumblr was porn. Tumblr was the best source of porn on the planet.
What?
Until they went, we're going to remove all the adult content. And then they lost 90% of their user base.
Tumblr was porn?
Yeah.
I thought Tumblr was like cutesy blogs about shit that people were doing in the gardens.
It was that.
Oh, it could have been porn.
And porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is the reason Tumblr's kind of this quite nice, accepting, positive, liberal community is because quite a lot of the users are left over from the time when that's where they went to get their free con.
That's cool.
And then they were just left being like, well, here's the other stuff I like.
Okay.
So the film industry, the MPAA, didn't realize that the X rating was just going to become completely... monopolized by porn.
1,000%.
And that's why today when we're like, ooh, X rated, it was never intended to be the porn classification. It was intended to be the, we've not classified this. This could be anything. This is for home movies. This is for independent cinema. This is for stuff that's too small for us to have to bother looking at.
Yeah.
And so it's set in this wonderful time when the X rating was new and they were like, we're going to make a real film that's also dirty, that can be art, that can be true cinema. Now, if this film, X, isn't also true cinema and a bit dirty, I don't know what is. Like, it's a great, great film.
Dude.
With loads of sex scenes in it.
It's a fucking masterful movie. But this is... It works on so many fucking levels, right? So, as a horror, it gradually amps up little bit by little bit. And the pace to begin with is quite slow. And Eli Roth is great at doing this, by the way.
Right.
I don't care if you like his movies or you don't like his movies. That's fine. It's fine. But objectively, he's incredible at pacing his films in a way that lulls you into a false sense of security. And then before you know it, you're in the woods and there's fucking dangling corpses all around you. And you're like, how did I get here from this fucking weird teen... porn flick I was watching 20 minutes ago.
I would argue that Eli Roth, that is his one talent.
It's his main talent.
I don't think he's that good at all that much, but when it comes to establishing and building tension, he's your guy.
Masterful. Now, if you pair that with, let's say, the beautiful cinematography that we've seen in horror films before, but it's not as
gorgeous,
as prevalent as I think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre being the creme de la creme of this.
Yep.
The horror is all implied in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's never up close and brutal. It's from a distance.
Let your imagination do it.
Let your imagination do it. It lets you fill in the blanks. But the blanks are there on purpose. They're intentional. And it trusts the audience to be able to fill in the blanks, right? It's not like a Mad Lib.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like a pick a name and this is funny. That person was just brutally murdered in front of your eyes. You just didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Ty West has taken this
and
he's put it through a mill of insane storytelling, insane character building. And then what he's done is he's sort of edged you into a horror film. And before you know that you're in a horror film, it's far too late. You know what I mean? Like there's no turning back. It's incredible shit. He released a fucking low budget B-movie idea horror movie and he's thrown enough passion at it to make everyone, for no other reason than the fact that he loves horror movies, go, oh, this is a horror movie. for the fans, by the fans.
Yeah.
And it's just a behind the curtain peek of how fucking much he loves making movies. And the fact that he can take you there and to some of the most horrific places that exist, build this entire universe in front of your eyes on $1 million, fucking insane.
It really reminded me, in a good way, of Craig S. Zahler's Bone Tomahawk. We mentioned him earlier.
Yes.
So Bone Tomahawk was a small budget sort of homage to Westerns, gritty Westerns.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a grindhouse movie, but it kind of, it establishes itself as a Western first.
Yeah.
And then segues into grindhouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This sort of does a similar thing in that it establishes itself as a drama, as like a character-led drama about a porn shoot. And then segues into a slasher.
Yeah.
But the thing that really struck me about both of them, these films, is it's quite easy to just grab loads of references together and just do a pastiche.
Do a what?
A pastiche. Like
pastiche. What the fuck?
Like you could take every page. Okay, it's where you take all the hallmarks, take all the references of something.
Right.
And you just jam it together and you go, there you go, it's the thing. So you could take like a page out of every Charles Dickens book, or take all the stereotypes, all the cliches right. of those books, jam them in a book and go, yep, same thing, innit? Same quality. And you're like, no, it's not. It's Ghostbusters Answer the Call is like a pastiche.
So in that allegory, the new Charles Dickens book that is all like one page of every other Charles Dickens book, that's the pastiche, the new book.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Fuck me, man. Just, okay, that's fine.
What? It's a known word.
Sometimes I look at you and I'm like, we have these conversations and I'm literally like, you use some words. I'm like, buddy, I wasn't at boarding school. I wasn't noshing off Mr. Gobbings whilst he taught about the fucking British colonial walls. I was in a school that had to take out the fucking metal protractors because people kept slapping each other. All right?
Right.
That's where I'm at. This is the level that I'm operating
at. So I should speak down to you? I should treat you like a lesser?
Dumb it down, man. Fuck.
Dumb it down for you.
Proud,
okay.
You know what I mean? I'm in the death of my ego, you know what I mean? Fucking dumb it down for me, you know what I mean? Liquefy
all right,
it,
fine.
Put it in a smoothie, give me a straw, little sippy cup, there you go. Pastiche.
Okay,
taking the piss.
Yeah, pastiche,
taking the piss.
It's a normal word.
All
but
right, fine.
But not both Bone Tomahawk and this film, they have something to say in their own right. They're using those stereotypes and those cliches to say something new. What doesn't, do you know what this, I was watching this and I was like, it was the exact film I expected House of 1,000 Corpses to be.
Same.
Right? Because House of 1,000 Corpses came out when I was a teenager. I was a massive Rob Zombie fan.
Same.
And I'd never seen a grindhouse. I'd never seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh no, none of that shit.
All of this stuff. And he was like, I'm going to introduce you to this world.
Mm.
Of B movie cult slashers that I love. And I'm like, yeah, Rob Zombie, let's go. And I watched it and I was like, why would I watch this?
Yeah, what is this?
This is dull and awful. And I feel like this is the movie that Rob Zombie probably intended to make. Right?
But on a much bigger budget, right?
Right. Yeah. Just
that's
spent way more.
Yeah. Right? Ty West essentially went, hold my zombie, and then just fucking like literally done him over. Done him over a barrel.
Right.
Been like, mate, here you
go. But the quality of the cinematography between, say, Bone Tomahawk and this, the fact that it tells its own story in its own genre, and then adds horror in as a kind of like a cutting agent. Oh, beautiful.
Right.
Chef's kiss.
Right. It's fucking incredible, man. I still can't get over pastiche. That's gonna sit with me for a little while, that is, man. I thought the breakdown was gonna be this shit. No, it's the full episode. All right, good stuff. 2022, buddy. This came out.
Right.
And it was a fucking stacked year for movies. Stacked years. But what makes X stand out against the likes of Smile?
Not seen it.
Black Phone?
Not seen it.
Barbarian?
Not seen it.
Terrifier 2?
Not seen it.
Come on, man. These are all like pristine examples of 2020s horror.
Okay.
It was a great year for those movies. Not a lot. I mean, Black Phone was, you know, hit or miss, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
Okay.
Smile was incredible. Yeah. Fucking, I mean, Smile had a huge budget, huge marketing budget as well, right? They had people like going to baseball games or standing behind news reporters when they were doing like, you know, live in the street or whatever. And they just stood staring dead into cameras, smiling. No context. Okay, it's
pretty good.
No nothing.
That's pretty good.
It was just appearing everywhere. People were talking about it. Long Legs did a similar thing recently.
I'm desperate to cover that. That and Heretic are the two horror movies that I've seen trailers for, and I'm like,
bro, Heretic?
Okay, yeah, I'm up for that.
Okay. What did Hugh Grant bumble his way through?
In his full true form.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Mate, this I think it should be like a Notting Hill sequel. You know what I mean? Like, it gets people to fall in love with him, and then boom, you're in a maze. Like,
yeah, no, okay. 2022 was a good year. I've heard of all those films, so I know it was a good year for horror.
Great year for horror.
A little bit like knowing it's a good year for wrestling. Don't watch wrestling, but I can see how much impact it's having in the conversation, you know?
All right, that's fair. It's upsetting to hear you compare my one true love with wrestling, but that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I'll come back.
You know, horror is scripted, right, Ben?
No, it's real, Rob. It's real. Okay. The Undertaker is real. Ty West literally fucking comes out of nowhere. I mean, he's made films in the past. He was doing a lot of TV before making these films. And his TV directing is insane. It's incredible. If you're watching any of the shows that he's done, his episodes will stand out 1,000 miles away. You know it's Ty West straight off the bat. He's done a few of the films. He did The Innkeepers. I watched it last night with the guys from Control Alt Critique.
Okay.
We sat and watched The Innkeepers. It was fine.
Watching movies with other podcasts now, are we, Ben?
Well, if some cunt had a car and decided to come see me rather than drive directly into the center of London. You know what I mean? Yeah, sure. Oh, Ben, I've got a week off. Don't worry, though. I ain't fucking seeing you. Ta-ra.
I offered to come up and you said you were busy.
Oh, bitch. You said next week.
Also, where would I stay, Ben?
Come up Monday and sleep here. There you go. Yeah.
Happy to.
Good.
I got work on Tuesday. I can't sleep.
Oh, well, fuck you then. But what Ty West does is he comes out swinging and he's like, yeah, man, do you know what? This year's pretty good. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw one masterpiece out there. Fuck it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to chuck the prequel out as well. Fuck it. Why not? You know, let's cover two bases. What I'll do, I'll do 1970s sleazy slasher fucking porn type grindhousey movie. We'll do that. We'll chuck that one out there. But then also I'm going to do a Technicolor Nightmare that gives you the entire backstory to the villain of X. I'm just going to throw them both out there. So, fuck it. Let's go.
About Pearl. What's the deal with Pearl? Because they came out the same year.
Yes,
and whilst I was watching X, I couldn't kind of shake the feeling that I was missing something about the old lady. Because in this film, she goes from confused dementia patient to supernaturally capable murder bot.
Oh, okay.
Relatively swiftly.
Right.
And there is stuff built in there about aging and loss of youth and envy and beauty and all that kind of stuff. There is that in the script, but it's suggested at rather than explicitly said. And so did I watch these in the right order? Is it X and then Pearl?
It's X and then, like, Pearl.
Because I'm assuming they were shot back to back, right?
Essentially, yeah. And what you've got is X is about... it's a social commentary on aging. You are right. It's a social commentary on aging and the loss of youth and stuff like this. But it's mainly about... Ty West has said that when you're younger, you're always looking forward, being sort of like, oh my God, it'll be so much better when I have X, Y, Z, when I'm a little bit older, when I've done this, that, and the other. And then when you hit that and it's not what you imagined and you're like, oh God, if only I could go back and if only I could do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, it's a constant battle of always wanting to be somewhere else rather than you are.
Right, yeah. So Mia Goth plays Pearl in heavy, heavy makeup. You wouldn't know to watch it. Like, it's one of those things... It's kind of quite widely shouted about online. And so whilst you're watching it, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But if you're watching it for the first time, you've got no fucking idea.
Absolutely none. No.
And then with Pearl, you get shown an innocent Christian girl who's not so innocent and Christian, who's also desperate for fame, but it's set earlier in like the 40s.
Yeah, so I get the symmetry between them, but like, were they made at the same time or were they...
It's almost like back-to-back. Like back to back. Mia Goth and Ty West had to keep Pearl a secret from the majority of people that were involved in the trilogy.
Okay.
Because they didn't want anything getting out. They were just sort of like, it's a secret thing. Right. This is our thing. They get it going. But the Technicolor Nightmare from the 40s, and it shows a sinister path that Mia Minx could take or a different way around the porn industry. Because obviously it wasn't prevalent back then. It was more sort of like show tunes and travel. The way he's done it is genius.
Yeah.
The way he's done it is genius. You're supposed to feel the gaps in X. You're supposed to be like, what am I missing about this character? Where's the villain come from? What's her origin? What have I missed? And then Pearl drops and you're like, here's everything to answer every question you've ever had. Here you go.
But I feel like if I had to pick holes, mm-hmm. and I do because it's my character and I can't help it.
Of course.
Now that I've seen Pearl, because I was going to wait until we'd covered X.
Yeah.
And I was just going to go straight in with just X. Mm-hmm. And had I done that, I'd have nothing but good things to say about it.
Yeah.
But watching Pearl,
right,
it feels like these two movies are meant to be watched on the same night.
They are.
It feels like a proper double feature.
It is.
And I feel like if you watch X and just leave it there, mm-hmm. you've watched half a film. If you watch just Pearl, you've watched half a film. The real genius of these movies is how they lock together and how one informs the other and how one feeds the other.
It's the perfect double feature. You are right. And now when you're looking at it and they're both dropping in 2022.
It makes perfect sense. It makes absolutely perfect sense. There's a real thing that I struggle with B-movie mm-hmm. is knowing how much of it is intentional and how much of it is pretend intentional, right?
Got you.
So with Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes.
I know you love that film.
Fucking adore it.
You're mad for it, but I watch it and I go, I don't know if I trust that this clunky, cheesy dialogue isn't, obviously I know it's intentional, but is it covering up the fact that that's all they can do? Whereas with this film, mm-hmm. from the first shot, you know you're in capable hands because it opens up. Set in the 70s, you get your 70s style credits.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're presented with a 4:3 frame, which is the aspect ratio that everything in the 70s used to be, of a little farmyard. And you're like, oh, okay, it's going to be in a funky aspect ratio. That's cool. I like the fact that they've committed to the bit.
Yeah.
And then the camera moves forward and you realize it's not a 4:3 frame. They're just in a barn.
Yes.
And they've intentionally constrained the image with the barn doors.
Yes.
And then it moves forward and becomes widescreen. Right. It's kind of like this Wizard of Oz moment.
Exactly.
That's a funny joke. That's a funny joke that only film nerds are going to go,
yeah.
That and then like the alligator chase where Maxine gets into the water. She's not needed on set. No. She goes for a wander. She goes for a swim in the river. And unbeknownst to her, there's a fucking massive alligator.
Yeah.
And it's this shot from above, and it's this silent chase where she's just blissfully swimming, and this alligator is getting closer and closer and closer. And it's so masterfully done that every other shortcoming, I go, no, that's intentional.
Yep.
And I know it's intentional because this guy could... When we covered Pacific Rim, and we were like... It's Del Toro.
Yes.
So we know that this kind of cheesy Western action style dialogue is a choice.
Yeah, of course.
Because he can do he's done Shape of Water, he can do Pan's Labyrinth. He's choosing to do a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
It's the same with this. It's absolutely the same with this.
1000% this. And you've just mentioned about the barn going from like a Wizard of Oz type moment.
Yeah.
Now that you've seen Pearl as well, you see that Pearl is essentially a Technicolor Wizard of Oz on fucking horror acid, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And obviously Pearl ends the way it does and then leads into X.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like it's going from the Wizard of Oz Technicolor nightmare world into a 1970s slasher homage world. It all makes perfect fucking sense. And the fact that it makes perfect sense the way that it does, those tiny details of Ty West's obvious love for cinema and love for making movies, this is what makes it a fucking near-perfect film for me.
I know for a fact, like, rewatching it, there will be more.
There's thousands more.
There will
more,
be more when I rewatch it.
I've watched this film dozens of times now. Dozens of times. Every opportunity I get to show someone X for the first time, I take it. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The reactions are always, like, wildly different. Some people fucking adore it. Some people think, oh, what a great horror. Other people are like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of that coming. Right?
Right, yeah.
After watching it dozens of times, trying to make notes for it for this episode, I have 6 full A4 pages. It's essentially a fucking essay of every point where I'm like, oh, okay, so let's have a look. So why did we choose the 1970s? And it has a full A4 page of me rambling shit about why this makes sense to do it in the late 70s. And then while I'm doing that, I'm like, oh, okay, but okay. So that would lead me into my next point, wouldn't it? That would lead me into this.
Mm.
And eventually, the last point, I'm just going to fucking go for this one because I'm proud of it. Ready?
Right.
So the genius writing underneath the gore of X.
Okay.
This is where I ended up. At the end of my 6-page essay.
Colour me intrigued.
This fucking film, right? So almost every character is an allegory for something, right? It's much bigger than themselves.
Right.
The producer, Wayne.
Right.
He uses and abuses any and all actors and actresses that he has access to achieve his own goals.
Right.
Looking at you, Hollywood.
Right. Yeah.
You've got Maxine Minx, who is the desperate for fame up-and-comer, trying to find a cheat code to the better life to get there as fast as possible.
Yeah.
She's trusting Wayne, who's promising her a few bumps in the road on the way to being a fucking star. It's literally 30% of LA. No offense. We love LA. We love you.
I've never been.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yep.
RJ, the insecure filmmaker who's determined to show that a dirty movie can be a good movie, that all it takes is movie-making passion and a creative vision.
Mm-hmm.
That and a group of people that are willing to do literally anything in front of a lens. Looking at you, Ty West.
Just a quick interruption there. What I like most about RJ...
Go on.
Is as a director insert, he's the director of the film, and you're making a film. So obviously, that's going to have some element of self-insert character, 100%. Right? Ty West?
Yeah.
Massive hypocrite.
How so?
He's a massive hypocrite. He's got all of his ideals about what sex on camera is.
Oh, yeah.
Until his girlfriend wants to do it.
Right.
He's Mr. Lofty Ideals. Yeah. He's Mr. Mm-hmm. No. We're all free. You know, this is great. And then someone that he loves says, I want to do it. He's like, no, you can't.
Yep.
I'm not willing to let you do that. And also, he's not that fucking good.
That's what I'm saying.
They stop to fill up for gas.
Yep.
And he's shooting Kid Cudi, filling up the petrol. And it's the porn actress who's like, maybe shoot it like this. And it'll look like he's using his dick to fill up the car.
1,000%.
He's like, oh yeah, that'd be brilliant.
This is what I mean though. So RJ is a flawed person.
Mm-hmm.
The film's commentary on sexuality and sex and sexual freedom is immense.
Yeah.
It's talking about people having free choice to do whatever the fuck they want to do, and it should be completely fine, and there's this big taboo around it. And
Lovely in theory.
RJ is the sort of conflicted Christian audience in that one going, I agree, people should have free will because everyone has free will because that's what we were built with.
Until it affects me
in any negative way or makes me feel slightly uncomfortable. And RJ is a genius character for that. Fucking
yeah, he really, really, really
genius.
Is.
But then... you've got Jackson.
Ooh.
Jackson, the Vietnam War vet who's taken a full U-turn on his previous life and is now back deep in the jungle, but this time finding himself not the Viet Cong. Hold on.
But crabs. Some heavy bush, man. It's the 70s. It would be heavy bush.
Kinda.
There we go. That analogy works perfectly.
But anyway.
He's back in the jungle.
The jungle, right? But no, he's not fighting. Right. He's not fighting the Viet Cong. He's fighting himself. He's trying to figure out who the fuck he is.
Yeah,
and
that's probably a little bit more deep.
He's gone from the army and fighting wars to smoking grass and fucking women on camera. Do you know what I mean? Like this.
I mean, pick two. That's a fucking character arc.
That's what
choose.
I mean, right? So what I'm saying is like, he's doing this and here's looking at anyone that's ever dedicated themselves to a fucking enormous time drain career, tied all their self-worth into it, dedicated their entire being.
Can't relate.
To this one thing.
Can't relate, mate.
And then.
Never done that.
Realizing it's not for you.
Nah.
Cough, cough, cough.
No.
You and me,
no,
buddy.
No, can't relate.
Here's looking at you and me, buddy. We're Jackson, just with much smaller penises.
And much, much, much less fun.
Much less fun, yeah. You know what I mean?
But we don't get murdered, so, you know, yet. Yet.
And like, Lorraine.
Yet.
Lorraine might be my favorite character in this whole fucking thing.
Right.
So she is the innocent in this. She's the sweet southern Christian girl who's just there to help her boyfriend, her loving boyfriend. She's swayed by both Wayne and RJ, and it's not for her benefit. It's always for their benefit. And when she finally makes a choice for herself, everyone else is like, well, this isn't what we wanted. This is what we wanted at all.
There was one moment in this film regarding Lorraine that I was disappointed by, in that there is a lot of very explicit sex in this film.
Go for it.
But then General Ortega comes along and none.
Okay. And I understand this. And when you were watching this live, admittedly, you were on an edible, but you were live tweeting me, live texting me.
Yeah.
Is live tweeting still a thing? I don't know what. people do.
No, it's live Xing.
Oh, sorry, yeah, live Xing.
On X.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were live Xing me.
Whilst watching X.
You were like, why is Ty West such a fucking coward? Where is Jenna Ortega's explicit sex scene? And I was like, okay, fair question, fair question.
Right.
I have 2 points to make about this one, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
RJ is horrendously uncomfortable with the whole situation, right? Doesn't like the idea.
Right.
Genuinely doesn't want it to happen. Not just because it doesn't make sense to the story, which is the whole cover story that he's saying, no, it doesn't make sense to my film. It doesn't. It, you can't just drop someone
right,
in.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, no,
that's
no, no.
That's his excuse. Yeah,
it's because he doesn't fully approve of the choices that the people around him are making. He's saying that he
right,
is.
Okay, yeah.
But deep down, yeah, he's yeah. like, this is my meal ticket. I'm going to make my film. These guys will do whatever yeah, the fuck yeah. they want. It's a it's
and this
an easy
is my
ride.
Girlfriend.
Exactly. And this, on a very separate note, is my partner who is going nowhere near you fucking cretins, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. He likes the quiet, shy, sexually repressed girl that only has eyes for him. You know, the whole sort of yeah. like cutesy love hearts in the pupils. Like,
yeah, yeah,
oh
yeah.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
RJ.
It's my exclusivity.
Exactly, right?
Everyone's free to do what they want, but you should want to only want me.
Exactly. Now, the fact that we only see what's happening through the sheer pain and heartbreak in RJ's eyes as he's forced yeah. to film his partner fuck Kid Cudi's enormous penis yeah. whilst he films it is so beautiful. Fucking beautifully brutal. It's insane. Brutal. It's another callback to like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All the horror is implied, but you know exactly what's fucking going on.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what that guy's feeling. Yeah.
And then two, my second point on this is that Lorraine,
mm-hmm.
being a very quiet, very shy, reserved Southern Christian girl who's having her mind open to the possibilities of her sexuality via the porn stars, she's doing so in a way that reflects her character arc. Her character so far has been very reserved. There's been nothing on show. Mm-hmm. There's no inkling of anything
okay,
anywhere.
Yeah. It's all it's from kind like, of consistent with her character.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be shown.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
also, she's fucking 19 when they're filming this, buddy.
Oh,
you're older than me. You're 39 years old.
35.
Yeah, but when are you 36?
Next month.
Next month. Fuck, you're so old.
7 weeks, yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, okay, but...
2 months older than me, mate. Don't you ever fucking forget it.
Okay.
All right.
I've hit the wall that I regularly hit now.
Right.
Which is that my reptile brain...
Sure.
My like brainstem brain
yeah.
has different age limits to my intellectual brain.
Right.
So I will walk down the street and I'll go, oh, they're pretty. And then I'll look again and I'll go, that is a 22-year-old. Now I feel like a sex predator.
Right. Okay. I'm glad you cleared it up with the 22-year-old because leaving that open-ended, oh, sometimes I'll just walk down the street and be like, they're pretty, without labeling any fucking lower age limit, Rob.
No.
Dangerous
no,
territory. No. I was getting sweaty.
No. So intellectually, I think the youngest I could possibly... picture myself with is
sure.
like 25, 26.
Way too right? young.
And even there, I'm like, mm.
And you were 10 when they were born. You were 10. You were double digits when they were born.
So I'm trying to paint me like Al Pacino. I'm not having kids when I'm 90.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
I'm
sorry, Leo DiCaprio. Jesus Christ.
Spending a night with somebody who's 25 doesn't feel predatory. 24, kind of does. Reptile brain doesn't know that. Reptile brain goes, oh, they're nice. And I guarantee you, you've done the same. I guarantee you, you've scrolled Instagram and paused and gone, oh, they're pretty, and they're probably 19. It is the curse of the middle-aged man.
Okay, I'm quite blessed in that my intellectual brain and my reptile brain
mm-hmm.
both have similar tastes in people.
Right, okay.
So I quite like older people. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah. if I'm scrolling Insta...
So you were watching this going like, oh, hello, Pearl.
You know, if Howard didn't pan out, you know what I'm saying? You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And then finding out it was Mia Goth, I was immediately turned off. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Disgusting.
God.
Thomas Turgoose in drag. Mia Goth does have the face of a 14-year-old British skinhead boy.
I can't get over how painfully accurate that is, but also it's the most offensive thing you've ever said about any other living human being on the planet. Honestly.
Why? What's wrong with Thomas Turgoose? Are you
Nothing.
Saying Thomas Turgoose isn't attractive?
No, I'm saying Thomas Turgoose is attractive, but I'm also saying Mia Goth is wildly different fucking ball game, and you've just gone, yeah, but in drag. You know what I mean?
Fair. Look, I can... Moving on. I had a question for you, because I can feel... the homage like dripping from this film, right?
Yes.
But I'm also aware that like things are being referenced that I haven't seen. Like, I've seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right.
And I genuinely called you and was like, should I rewatch Texas Chainsaw Massacre for this? I didn't. I ended up rewatching Pearl.
No. I said yes. And then you didn't do it and watched another film entirely. So it was a fucking pointless phone call. Thanks for that one.
But I really enjoy this kind of slower paced, really beautiful, much more like interpretive style of horror.
Yeah.
And like the breathing space and the patience that this movie brings. Is there stuff out there I should be watching? Like, hey,
there's this whole fucking... That's a great question to start with. It's going to open up a whole can of worms that we can talk about for hours on end, because I can literally sit here and go through my entire fucking Blu-ray collection and tell you why X in some way, shape or form can correlate to that film, right? I can literally sit here for hours and do it for you. I'm not going to, because obviously we're running short on time already. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a big one because it's the cinematography is very similar. The setting is very similar. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful film before it's a horror film.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important distinction that a lot of horrors miss, where they focus on the horror before they focus on the filmmaking aspect.
Right.
And you can tell that Tobe Hooper and Ty West both share in the passion of making a film before making a horror film.
I've always said horror is a difficult genre to make because you've doubled the work.
Exactly.
You have to make a good film and a scary film.
Yeah.
And I think so many horrors focus on making a scary film and then remember at the end, oh, it should also be a good film.
Yeah.
And balls it up. Whereas this one's gone, no, we'll be a good film first. Yeah. And if it's scary, great, but...
We'll be a good film. Also, it's a horror.
Right. Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
There's so many different things. So you've got the sort of like the main aesthetics are like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You've got a lot of horror subgenres. I mean, you've got some tips of the hat to like Debbie Does Dallas, which is kind of sleazy, fun, 70s-ish porno.
Again, not seen it.
It's fun. Watch it with a family. I'd recommend that one. Get mom and sister involved in Debbie Does Dallas. You know what I mean? Why not? If not, I'll watch it with your mom. That's fine. We've got a whole fucking subgenre called the Psycho Biddy. Right? The Psycho Biddy is a subset of horror that focuses on older women being painted out as monsters. The biggest one being Psycho.
Doesn't sound Freudian at all.
Right?
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
Leading me to my next point. Here's Psycho.
It's just a generation of horror filmmakers that didn't have nice mums.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Psycho's a huge one. It's got a huge influence on this film as well. And you'll see Psycho's influence on Ty West more in Maxine.
Right. So I obviously, Psycho I have seen because that is a, you know, it's Hitchcock. It's cinema, Ben. It's not horror.
Yeah.
So that one I've seen. Texas Chainsaw I saw years ago and I remember enjoying it. But then I think somewhere near the end, I'm like, it's just been screaming for 20 minutes now.
Yeah.
Because it is just the actress running around going, ah! Ah!
If you're on about Sally, I'm going to fucking slap you because she is a gem of a final girl. All right.
Okay, possibly. Well, I mean, I am on about her then, because it is the third act of that film is Sally running around and screaming. The script must have been fucking brief.
Essentially. Essentially. You need to rewatch Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's some of my favorite cinematography that's ever existed in cinema ever. There's a beautiful shot where the camera goes under a swing set and you've got, I can't fucking remember her name. I haven't seen it in a little while. But essentially, a woman in red shorts set against the blue sky walking towards a White House. And the Technicolor fucking scape that is just in front of you is nothing but gorgeous. It's the best fucking thing. If I can have one thing framed for like a bathroom,
it would be that.
That would be it.
Yeah.
That would be it.
Okay, good. Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get to the game and the rating and the comment corner and all those wonderful things.
Yeah.
Because I do want to know what you rate this. My rating might surprise you.
Okay.
How are you really? Like, you've had time to wake up now. You've gotten in the groove.
I have.
Like, is everything okay? Because we always ask, how are you early in the episode? But, like, we're on a timer there.
I'm okay, man. I'm a little bit overworked. I feel odd most of the time because I feel like I'm not sleeping. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not getting enough done. I get the weird guilt when I'm not being productive. That seems to be creeping back in. That went away for a bit, and now it's coming back with like a bit of a vengeance.
Okay.
But overall, bud, my creativity is like through the fucking roof.
Yeah, I've noticed that recently. You've been doing some stuff. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, I'm working on some stuff. I've got some stuff ticking over in the background. We've got some merch designs coming. Sean Swannery is in there. Stone Cold Steve Autism is in there. These are all callbacks for about three people that are going to remember what we were talking about in those episodes.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's nice. Everything's balancing out. It's really fucking nice. I've got a nice little community. I've got a nice little place.
Good.
Carved out good, in the world, man. Surrounded by nice people. I've got your fucking little face that is never going to drive up and see me because you secretly hate me. So I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you? Really? Fill me in. I know the car broke, but you've had a week off. You seem much more refreshed. You look better.
So I am, in a weird way, it's a weird one. I'm like short-term refreshed.
Okay.
I think I put a lot of stock in, like I'd booked this time off. I was going to have like the weekdays off, wasn't going to be working. It was going to end with this camping trip. I'd have a car. Like I'd kind of snapshotted this week a little bit and like build it up to be like, this will be great.
Yeah.
And like, it's nearly over now. I'm back to work in a few days.
Yeah.
And, I'm happy to have had the time off, but like, I'm not that much further forward in my life. And I think again, it's that thing of just like, the mentals are fine. Mm-hmm. They're fine. But I'm also aware that like, I'm going back into a 6-day week.
Yep.
I got no more time off booked. It's just going to be back on the 5 days a week.
Yep.
Busy, busy, busy. Like the job is fucking rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, okay, I've got the car, but it's just cost me like hundreds of pounds. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fuck, what am I actually doing? Like, what am I doing? How long am I going to be in my fucking parents' house? Living in the guest room, like I've gone from having an incredible bachelor pad all to myself on Camden High Street, living the high life,
yeah,
to this. And I think the car and all this kind of stuff, I had this progress map planned out and it's just going so fucking slowly. And I think I've kind of got to the end of my week off and I'm like, oh, back to that then.
I hear what you're saying. I have very little sort of in the ways of, don't worry, buddy, it gets better, because I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
It's fucking boring. I think this is what it is. Like, you've got to understand that we've come from high risk, high reward careers fueled by cocaine.
And fear and
fear,
risk.
Fear, cocaine, adrenaline. You know what I mean? It has to be like now. You get a phone call, you're like, fuck it, I'm on it right now. Yes, it's 4 a.m, but don't worry, I will drive to Hull. I'll be there for 7. Don't you worry about it. It's that. And then you've gone from that to a fucking normal small town. This is your 5-day a week.
It feels a little bit like I'm staring down winter, you know? I'm like, cool.
Fucking staring down winter. What's this? Is this a Charles Dickens pastiche? Come back, buddy!
Do you want to play a game?
I've actually fucking got a game for you this week.
Oh, you've got a game? Oh, okay.
I've not just got a game. I've got a fucking game, mate. And if we can do a quiz, a very in-depth, a very fucking comprehensive. I've scoured far and wide. My research has spanned eons for us to arrive at
Jesus
this point, right?
Christ.
We're going to do a quiz.
0 points to me, then.
We're going to do a quiz. We're going to go through and we're going to find out your horror knowledge. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start sending you Blu-rays that aren't just Magnolia now.
Right, okay.
I'm going to start sending you some stuff. And then
that'd be nice.
Because you've been building up my world a lot recently. I've got shitloads of the films that we've been watching. I've got Tenet on Blu-ray.
Right.
Never going to watch it, but I've got it. You know what I mean? It's there. So I want to do the same for you.
Okay, so where is this quiz? Okay, so you quiz me then, this fucking insane quiz.
It's intense. BuzzFeed.com.
Right.
What horror knowledge? Hold on. It's called How Well Do You Really Know Horror? And then the tagline is, if you get 14 out of 15 on this trivia quiz, you're a true horror nerd.
15 questions, Ben.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll just block out the next 40 minutes.
Yeah. Nah, we'll speedrun it. It's BuzzFeed, mate. It's not that fucking in depth. You know what I mean?
All right.
Is this a horror? Nah. And then that's it.
All right, speed round.
Right, ready?
Let's go.
How many Halloween movies have there been to date? 7, 11,
14.
13, or 17?
17.
That's wrong, buddy. It's 11.
Next.
It's 11. In what year was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre released?
1976.
Hold on. 69, 73, 74, or
79? 74.
74. Good job, babe. Good job, babe.
Yes.
Which movie did The Exorcist director, William Friedkin, say was the most terrifying he'd ever seen? Was it The Exorcist, A Quiet Place, Bird Box, or The Babadook?
The Babadook.
You're correct. And fuck knows why, because yes. That's insane. And the scary thing about that is a little kid in the back. Ah!
Great film.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Horrible.
Because you saw yourself.
Yeah, hated it. Which comedian inspired Jordan Peele to write Get Out? Was it Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, or Robin Williams?
Robin Williams.
It was Eddie Murphy, buddy.
Shit.
These are terrible horror questions. They're sort of like, it doesn't matter. They're so throwaway. It means nothing. In which movie does Jason Voorhees first wear his iconic hockey mask? Rob, if you do not get this right, I swear to God, I'm going to send you all 10 films that matter, and we're going through them one by one. There you go. We've got Friday the 13th, part one, part two, part three, or the final chapter.
I'm going to say Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors.
I will set this whole place on fire.
Okay. Part three.
Thank you, buddy. Fuck me. I think that was the one. Like that was the one question where I was like, this is a make or break. You know what I mean? Which of these movies is not based on a book? Fucking hell, this quiz is made for you. It's nothing to do with horror. It's all about fucking books. Psycho, Rosemary's Baby, Hereditary, or The Ring?
Hereditary is not based on a book.
It is not based on a book. Well done, bud. Who was the star of The Birds? Grace Kelly, Tippi Hedren, Janet Leigh, or Joan Fontaine?
Tippi Hedren.
It is Tippi Hedren. Of course it is. This is shit.
I just know because she's got a great name.
Yeah, this is...
Who else is called Tippi?
Yeah, I know.
Name one of the Tippi.
Tippi Cup. Which movie gave John Travolta his first film role? The Devil's Reign, Carrie, The Omen, or Suspiria?
Carrie.
Ooh, buddy, unlucky. It is The Devil's Reign. Oh. The Devil's Reign. Yeah.
Should have known it was the one that I'd never fucking heard of.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of process elimination on that one, isn't it? What's the main name of the Blair... What's the main character's name in the Blair Witch Project? Rebecca, Heather,
Tony.
Courtney, or Blair?
Tony.
Tony?
Tony Blair Witch Project.
In the bin. Rebecca, Heather, Courtney, or Blair?
Blair.
Heather, obviously. Come on.
Blair.
Blair. You think the main character in The Blair Witch is called Blair?
Yep.
Mint.
Yep.
It makes all sense. Which movie was the first horror to be nominated for a Best Picture Oscar? Was it The Shining? Was it The Silence of the Lambs? Was it Psycho? Or was it The Exorcist?
The Shining.
Ooh, you sure about that one, bud?
Obviously not.
No, it's the Exorcist.
I'm
going to
go with The Shining.
It's The Exorcist. Who was the killer in Scream 2? Was it Cotton Weary, Mrs. Loomis? Was it Billy Loomis? Or was it Charlie Walker?
I've seen that movie.
You've seen this recently. Right. You've told me about this.
I've watched them all on Edibles, and Cotton Weary is the name that we've given to the feeling when you wake up having been stoned the night before.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, I'm really cotton weary.
Yeah.
It wasn't cotton weary. Give me again.
So if it's not cotton weary, it's either Mrs. Loomis, Billy Loomis, or Charlie Walker.
It's Mrs. Loomis.
It is Mrs. Loomis. Good job, buddy.
Yes. Not cotton weary today.
Nice.
Bud.
There you go. All right. I'd say that's a win.
That's a win. What did I get?
I don't know. I stopped clicking the answers after a while. They were really easy. I stopped clicking them because I was like...
Okay. We just did a 45-minute quiz. I'm like, what's my score? You're like, I gave up.
You get...
stop caring.
We'll give you a 10. 10 out of 15. Okay. There you go.
10 out of 15, yeah. Two-thirds of the way there, buddy.
So 10 out of 15, BuzzFeed says, you really know your stuff.
No, I don't.
But there are some gaps in your knowledge.
Yeah. I'm not a horror guy. You're the horror guy. That's your role on the pod.
But
you know?
In all fairness, these aren't horror questions. They're like
these aren't horror questions.
They're horror adjacent questions. I'll give them that.
Best.
Fucking
best.
BuzzFeed, man. This is why they're shit. You know what I mean? Absolute tough.
What are you rating X?
Fat 10.
Mm-hmm.
Fat 10.
I agree.
It's one of these films where it gets you, when you first watch it, you're like, oh, that was pretty fun. And then it sits with you for a bit and you're like, hold on, wait a minute.
Yep.
Am I learning something?
Right.
Am I aging? Am I getting old? Oh, God.
Well,
oh God.
Okay.
Am I ready to be a fucking star? Do I miss cocaine?
One brief point I have there, though, is, and we are out of time. Like, we're going to have to skip Comment Corner. We're going to have to just do this and get out. But
I've got one for Comment Corner. I can be super quick with it, but continue.
All right, cool. But I feel like if I have one observation about this film's subtext is that its view of aging is a very youthful fear.
Yes, it is.
It paints aging and how old people must feel in a way that I think only a young person would think.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's awful, it's terrible, it's all these things. There's no understanding of all the good things that come with age. It's a young person's fear and hatred of later years made into horror. Do you know what I mean? I don't think a 70-year-old would write this script.
I think
a 20-year-old would and go, oh my God, what a horrible, like, that must drive you to murder. But I think an older person would go, I'm actually quite happy and much prefer being this age than yours.
Okay, 1,000% from a content older person. But I think it's written in a way from both viewpoints. I think it's written in a way of someone who has been youthful enough to dream the biggest dreams possible and lived long enough to watch themselves not achieve them. That's the true horror of this entire film on the comment on aging. Fair. And it scares the shit out of me, to be honest with you, buddy. Scares the shit out of me. Right, I've got one comment for Comment Corner. It's on our TikTok about aliens not being a depression allegory.
Right.
And Gremlins 2 wrote, my depression mostly comes at night. Mostly.
Okay, that was worth it.
Right?
That was totally worth
it. There you
go.
Yeah. Gremlins 2. Like, thank you. Superior movie.
I mean, I will do Gremlins at some point, and I got some strong views about Gremlins 2, which are
sexy.
Controversial.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That took a sharp left turn.
That, sadly, is all the time we have this week, but it has been an honor and a privilege.
Have you rated the movie?
Yeah, I said 10. I said fat 10. I agreed with you. You said fat 10. I said, yeah, me too.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't hear you say fat 10, it made me sad.
It's a fat 10, mate.
Oh, there we go, buddy.
I would say that don't go into this film expecting a fucking 3-course Michelin star banquet meal. Go in expecting a really good sandwich.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't set its expectations high, so neither should you. It's a small, subtle, little film, and it's all the better for it. We've spoken highly of it, and we've gone and going, oh, it's the tits.
It is the tits.
I think
it is the tits.
Go small.
Yeah, it's the small tits.
Unlike Kid Cudi.
Right.
That is all the time we have. That is all the time we have. We can't go on
for
as long as Kid Cudi's dick does.
We'd be here for days. Guys, thank you so fucking much for hanging out with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. We love and appreciate each and every one of you from the bottom of our hearts.
Now, to thank you for spending an hour of your time with us, especially at the start of the week. You know, a lot of you listen on a Monday. Ben is going to wrap up the thoughts, themes, and feelings of this week's film into a little Monday motivation speech for you, while I'm just going to cosplay society and tell you to consume.
I think it's healthy to have your goals. Do you know what I mean? To have somewhere, something to aim for, somewhere to go, something to look forward to. But don't fucking put all your eggs in that basket, man. If it doesn't pan out, it doesn't define who you are as a person. We still love you. And I mean, if some of you are as blessed as Kid Cudi with a fucking enormous dick, don't get too cocky. You know what I mean? You'll still get shot in the fucking chest and buried in a swamp. Just saying. Tiny dicks rise!